Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and alongside me is Mike. Today is Tuesday, July 7th, 2026, and this is episode number 449. We are looking back at the biggest conversations that dominated the front page yesterday, July 6th.
Hey, Sarah, and hey, everyone listening. We have a really fascinating mix of stories today. We are going to be talking about a massive industry-shaking memo out of Xbox, a new piece of open hardware that has the community debating router aesthetics, some incredibly spicy open-source drama in the world of offline maps, a massive leak regarding GPT 5.6 coming to Codex, and finally, a really cool real-time map of the UK rail network that uses some surprisingly clever tech to track trains.
Let us dive right into the biggest story of the day, which was the news about Xbox. The head of Xbox, Asha, sent out a global memo announcing what she called the most significant restructure in Xbox history. And Mike, the numbers here are brutal. They're cutting about 3,200 roles throughout the 2027 fiscal year, with 1,600 of those happening immediately. Plus, four entire studios are leaving Xbox management.
Yeah, it is a massive shakeup. The memo was unusually candid for a corporate communication. Asha flat out said our business today is not healthy. She pointed out that they are operating at margins 3 to 10 times lower than comparable platform and publishing businesses. They bet the farm on Game Pass and a broader portfolio, but it just did not grow at the pace they needed. And meanwhile, their core business weakened.
The Hacker News comments really tore into the financials of this. A user named Rocky J pointed out that Xbox makes around $5 billion in revenue per quarter, so they are not losing money, but their profit margin is only around $150 to $160 million. That is a 3% margin.
Exactly. And another commentator, P2, made the hilarious but depressing point that a 3% return is actually lower than buying US Treasury bonds. You could literally take that $5 billion, take zero risk, do zero work, and make a better return than running one of the biggest gaming platforms on Earth.
But there was a really insightful comment from Matt Alex that explained the life cycle of console economics. Usually, in the end of cycle phase, which is where we are right now, hardware margins are supposed to be at their highest because manufacturing costs have dropped and marketing is minimal. If Xbox is only pulling a 3% margin right now at the cheapest point in the cycle, it spells disaster for their ability to fund the research and development for the next generation of consoles.
Right, and they are also cutting management layers. The memo mentioned that in some parts of the company, work was passing through as many as 14 layers of management. 14 layers! They are mandating a reduction to 5 and ideally 3 layers. It's a classic case of corporate bloat during the good times, and now the bill has come due. The community also pointed out how Game Pass prices keep creeping up, which is squeezing the existing player base because they just aren't attracting new ones.
It is definitely the end of an era for that grow-at-all-cost mindset in gaming. Moving from software to hardware, our next story is about the OpenWRT1. This is an open hardware router project that got over 500 points yesterday.
This is super cool. OpenWRT, for those who might not know, is a Linux operating system targeting embedded devices, mostly routers. It is a fantastic way to breathe new life into old hardware or get enterprise-level features on consumer gear. But now they are actually backing their own open hardware device.
And what I loved about this thread was that it instantly devolved into a debate about why modern routers look so ridiculous. A user named V. Spiridov asked why modern routers always have to look like some unholy blend of a cybernetic spider and Knight Rider.
It is so true. You buy a router today and it looks like a stealth bomber flipped upside down. People in the thread were getting incredibly nostalgic for the classic Linksys WRT54G from the early 2000s, that iconic little blue and black box with just two antennas. It was unassuming, it stacked nicely, and it did not look like it was going to crawl across your desk.
But the hardware folks in the comments chimed in to explain why the spider design actually exists. As we've moved to Wi-Fi 5, 6, and now Wi-Fi 7, we're dealing with multiple frequency ranges, like 2.4, 5, and 6 gigahertz. More importantly, modern routers use techniques like MIMO and beamforming.
Right, beamforming literally requires a phased array of antennas. A commenter named 9_K pointed out that to get the signals to shape and direct themselves toward your laptop or phone, you physically need multiple antennas spaced out. You can't just shove them all inside a tiny, sleek box without losing a ton of performance.
Though some users admitted that the gamer aesthetic is definitely pushed by marketing departments, because it looks fast and advanced. A really popular alternative mentioned in the thread was buying used enterprise access points, like Cisco gear off eBay.
They look like simple smoke detectors. You can mount them to the ceiling, and they are rock solid. You just have to deal with the headache of flashing them and bypassing the corporate firmware.
Which is exactly why the OpenWRT1 is so appealing. It is built from the ground up for the open source community. No weird proprietary blobs, just clean open hardware.
Speaking of the open source community, our next story is about Comaps, which is a free, open source, offline map application. It is designed for hiking, biking, and driving, and it uses OpenStreetMap data.
On the surface, this looks like a great little project. It is privacy-focused, no data collection, and it promises to be super battery efficient. People were talking about using it in conjunction with apps like Street Complete, which gamifies adding data to OpenStreetMap. You walk around your neighborhood and the app asks you things like, does this crosswalk have tactile paving? Or what are the opening hours of this cafe?
Yeah, the Pokemon Go for civic good comparison was great. But Sarah, the Hacker News thread for Comaps was absolute chaos.
Oh, it was so spicy.
It really was. So Comaps is actually a fork of another very popular open source app called Organic Maps, which itself was a fork of Maps.me. And the Organic Maps loyalists showed up in force in the comments.
A user named Ponkipo wrote this massive takedown, pointing out that almost all the positive comments about Comaps seem to be coming from the developers themselves rather than actual users. They accused the Comaps camp of astroturfing and trash-talking Organic Maps over incredibly minor things.
Exactly. Apparently, the big schism happened over governance and money, as these things usually do. Some people were complaining that Organic Maps had ads, but Ponkipo clarified that they are just affiliate links for hotel points of interest, which is how the project keeps the lights on. It is not like they are serving pop-up banner ads while you are trying to navigate a hiking trail.
It brought up a really interesting meta conversation about open source forks. A commenter named PatCon mentioned that it's so easy and cheap to fork a project and simulate a community these days. They even speculated about the risk of nation-states building or funding these types of open-source forks to get into the intimate workflows of specific targets. Think about it, a navigation app knows exactly where you are, where you live, and where you travel.
That is a terrifying thought. We have already seen supply chain attacks in open-source, so the idea of a simulated community propping up a seemingly benign utility app is not out of the realm of possibility. Not saying that is what Comaps is doing. It seems like standard open source developer drama, but it is a fascinating security angle.
Absolutely. Moving on to the AI space, we had a very short but highly upvoted post. It was just a link to a post on X from Thibaut, reading, "Ultra will be in Codex."
That is referring to GPT 5.6 Sol Ultra, which is the massive new model everyone has been waiting for. And Codex, of course, is the engine behind GitHub Copilot and other coding assistants.
There was not an article attached, just the tweet, but the community went wild. We're in July 2026 now, and the leap from the early GPT-4 models to the 5 series has already completely changed how we write software. But Sol Ultra is rumored to have vastly improved context windows and reasoning capabilities.
If this integration hits Codex soon, we are looking at a coding assistant that does not just auto-complete your functions, but can likely architect entire microservices and debug complex multi-file repository issues in real time. The pace of this is just staggering. We used to get excited about minor syntax highlighting updates, and now we are talking about AI models that can essentially act as a senior staff engineer looking over your shoulder.
It really makes you wonder what the job of a software engineer looks like even 2 years from now. The abstraction layer just keeps moving higher.
It does. Our final story today is a bit more grounded, literally. It is a project called Signalbox, which provides a real-time map of Great Britain's rail network.
This was super popular on the site yesterday. It's a beautiful, smooth web interface where you can see little trains moving across the map of the UK. But the discussion quickly turned to how these real-time maps actually source their data, because it is much harder than you might think.
Right. Someone linked to the Swiss equivalent, which is famous for its precision. But a user named SBB equals FFS pointed out that the Swiss map often fakes it. It uses the train schedule combined with projected delays to estimate the track location. They shared a story about being stuck on a broken down train, but watching the dot on the map happily continue to the next 3 stations before the system finally updated.
That is the classic difference between predictive data and real-time telemetry.
But Signalbox, the UK map, does something totally different and arguably much smarter. According to their site, they identify the train a device is on by matching a snapshot of smartphone data to a train's trajectory data.
Yes, and the comments dug into how this works. Signalbox was actually acquired by Trainline in 2023. Trainline is a massive ticketing app in the UK. So if you have the Trainline app on your phone and you have location permissions enabled, they are using your phone to track the train.
But it gets even deeper. A user named PJC50 explained that they might not even need pure GPS. They can use cell tower handoffs. The mobile network knows which cell tower your phone is connected to. As a train moves at high speed, a whole cluster of phones will switch from one cell tower to the next at the exact same time. You correlate that mass handoff with the known train schedule and the physical track layout, and boom, you know exactly where the train is without needing to install expensive GPS hardware on every single train car.
That is brilliant. It is a perfect example of using existing ambient data to solve a complex hardware problem. Although it did bring up a security concern. A user named Butlerian Jihad mentioned they wanted to build a tracker for freight trains as a hobby, but realized that operational data about freight trains, especially what they are carrying and where they are, is highly sensitive.
Yeah.
With train derailments and cargo theft being real issues, the rail companies do not exactly want a public real-time API of every freight train's location. So for now, the real-time tracking is mostly restricted to passenger networks, where the public benefit outweighs the security risk.
It is a fascinating intersection of infrastructure, data privacy, and clever engineering. And that wraps up our coverage of yesterday's top stories from Hacker News.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the best conversations from the front page of tech.
See you tomorrow, everyone.